Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on this fall day. The Chuck and Julie Truth Straight Up Grassroots Show. What version of that?
All Chuck has to say is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. It's like
too straight up.
Too straight up.
No, you didn't even get it right. While attacking me, you got it wrong.
Anyway, it's a Chuck and Julie Show. Right. Welcome, everybody. Hey, the show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese medicine. So the chaos ends.
This is a great day. I mean, yeah. This is happy, happy, happy news. I didn't realize it that Mike Johnson was such a perfect pick for Speaker of the House, but he is. Trump supports him. He's against Ukraine aid. He's against everything great. He'll be hard to attack because he's kind of a understated, kind of humble guy. Maybe that'll change, but at least at this point, he's all those things. And it's really exciting that he's been elected. And you know, the system will break him down. He'll be destroyed, of course. But for today, anyway.
But for today,
it's tremendous news.
It's Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana. Representative from Louisiana was elected speaker. This time, all of the Republicans, even Ken Buck, voted yes. Ken Buck voted yes. The Democrats, of course, did not. He would kind of emerge yesterday. It sounds like sort of, I don't want to say out of the blue, but it certainly wasn't one of the names that people had been talking about.
I didn't think I knew him at all. Eventually, I figured out I'd watched him grilling Merrick Garland.
We'll play that in a second.
At one time, and I enjoyed that, but he's not a famous man at all.
And I want to talk about, number one, get your take on it. So if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Or if you're on Zoom and you want to comment, to go ahead and unmute yourself. I didn't know anything about him, right? And at first when I read it wrong, I'm like, Mike Johnson from L.A.? I'm like, that's how much I knew. But he does seem to be good. And it is kind of interesting, you know, watching social media feeds and things like that and some of the commentary. All of the right people like him.
All the right people hate him.
Right.
Adam Kinzinger hates him. Good. Adam Schiff hates him. Excellent.
Excellent. Ken Buck doesn't like him a lot, but he liked him well enough to vote for him. This is how CNN calls him a key figure in the failed efforts to overturn the 2020 election. So that means he's good. CNN hates him, right? Mm-hmm. This is from Leo. Never heard of him. That's a good thing. In a way, that's true, Leo. But it sounds like when you look back, he's been saying a lot of the right things for a long time. He's a fourth term congressman. Barty says he grew up in a not a nice place, Shreveport. You like him. Look at the enemies. You know, exactly. In a big way, that's how you tell. The people who hate him, you're like, oh, okay, well, then he must be good, basically, right? I want to play. This is just, Chuck found this. This was him. I didn't really get the part where he's grilling Merrick Garland, but he kind of talks about where he's coming from. He's totally supports the impeachment effort. Totally supports closing borders. Now, again, we might be disappointed, but we're going to save that for another day. But hey, Doug, if we could please play the Johnson soundbite. This is Representative Mike Johnson talking to Merrick Garland.
Law does distinguish our country, but you have not upheld that. You have allowed the rule of law to erode. And that's why 65% of the people in this country have no faith in the Department of Justice under your leadership. They don't trust it. They don't trust you. The reason is because they're witnessing every day a politicized Justice Department in a two-tiered system of justice. For example, they see the DOJ, of course, aggressively prosecuting President Biden's chief political rival, Mr. Trump, while at the same time, they see slow walking and special treatment given to the president's son. That's just a fact that everybody can see with their own two eyes.
Yeah. And so, and he, in there, he kind of, again, he's for the impeachment, for closing the borders. He's an election denier.
Election denier.
And they keep talking about that. Now, Kevin Buck, who earlier said he would never vote for an election denier,
voted for an election denier.
Said, but he wasn't as much of a denier as Jim Jordan was. So that's why he didn't like Jim Jordan. So that's good news. And hopefully there was the, Babylon Bee satire site, they showed, you know how like when they elect a pope and they burn the smoke, right? They showed all the smoke burning out of the Capitol saying they're now back to burning our taxpayer dollars now that Congress is back in session. I do think it's funny. The liberal media all were saying, oh, the Republican chaos ends. I don't know. I mean, I think the rest of the world, us included, you know, went along pretty smoothly, even though we did not have a speaker at the House, right?
How could we get through our day?
I don't know. So we'll see what kind of difference he makes, but hopefully he will. This is from Barney. He said, yeah, Garland pooped his pants during that interview. Mm-hmm. And from Leo, Ken Buck has so much integrity, he has to carry it around in a wheelbarrow. Right. But sometimes he leaves his wheelbarrow at home, so he doesn't have to worry about the integrity. But one of the other things I wanted to talk about, Matt Gaetz, and if you haven't seen the full thing, check it out on Steve Bannon's War Room, but we're going to play some segments from it. Once again, what's been happening really ever since Donald Trump is the Matrix is being revealed and people are being red-pilled, whether they like it or not. And one of the things that this all showed, number one, it's revealed Ken Buck for the complete and total rhino.
Didn't already know.
Right.
What a crazy little guy he is.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, he votes to oust McCarthy and then votes to keep or then votes against Jim Jordan. I'm not sure why that happened, but this whole process and these whole past few years have sort of revealed what people and who people really are. Donald Trump has a way of doing
thing
that.
Great is Matt Gaetz has been a revealer of, he's taken the curtain back and he did a thing on Bannon's show, which was just tremendous, showing really what happened and how it happened and who was doing what, which of course your average Washington Post, New York Times reporter never do. I mean, you know, this is what really happened. No, this is our spin, and so we'll give it that.
Right. And so what Matt Gaetz does, and we'll play some sound bites, but just sort of give you a preview, because he gets in the weeds a little bit. He talks about sort of the jockeying for votes, right? And he talks about how, bottom line, he reveals just what an evil troll Kevin McCarthy is. Yes, I mean, and it's not just, you know, Matt Gaetz, obviously, and Kevin McCarthy, I think, are not, you know, best friends anymore. But he actually has the receipt, so to speak, right? He kind of talks about how really all of this maneuvering and the reason it took so long is because McCarthy kept sabotaging things, literally promising people stuff if they would
chairmanships, bills, hearings, to get their vote. So he could come back saying, I'm back.
Right. So they couldn't find anybody and eventually it would have to be up to him. I think he must have overplayed his hand, though, when everybody saw that, because pretty soon they quit listening to him. And then when they asked for a roll call vote for Johnson, right? And because apparently McCarthy was like, well, you're telling all of his supporters, you need to support me because I'm going to get all the votes. He got zero. So I want to kind of play. This is Matt Gaetz explaining how McCarthy, who I sometimes have kind of liked him, but you just can't anymore. Jesus. How dirty his hands were in all of this. So if we could please, Doug, play Gaetz number one.
It showed everyone that it was actually McCarthy who was working to knife Scalise. It was actually McCarthy who was working to knife Jim Jordan. It was McCarthy working to knife everyone. And he hadn't yet figured out a way to knife Mike Johnson. And so he was worried that there was going to be this great unifying moment, and he scuttled the unifying moment. So because of McCarthy's objection, we had to have this 3-hour delay. And, you know, candidates announce again, have another forum. And guess what happens during that delay, Steve? Patrick McHenry runs to the House floor, opens it up out of recess, and then adjourns till noon today. Now, why did he do that? Because they were setting up a play to block Mike Johnson with write-in votes in the intra-conference process for Kevin McCarthy. They were promising people hearings on their favorite legislation, passage of bills. I heard people promised, oh, maybe you'll get a chairmanship. And the play was for McCarthy to return as speaker and then Jim Jordan to be the deputy speaker in some sort of like Dwight Schrute assistant to the regional manager posture.
Yeah, so that was his play, right? And he was going to make it sound like, you know, okay, well, it's me and Jim Jordan unifying.
Jim Jordan,
he would be like, he'd give him Nancy Pelosi's new office or something, right? Where he had no windows or anything like that. So, I mean, it's interesting. And the way he was explaining it, what finally revealed this was when they called for not the secret vote, but for a roll call vote. And so they had to go on the record right? And they had to go on the record, and nobody wanted to go on the record voting for McCarthy. So we ended up getting zero votes.
Even McCarthy
wouldn't vote for himself. McCarthy. So, and again, one of the things that this whole process did, and so, you know, embrace the chaos, right? Because the chaos exposed the rhinos in the party.
Yeah,
you say,
well, there's a lot of them. Well,
that's a depressing thing that exposed. But if we could play, because we're going to go through and explain this, so if we could please play Matt Gaetz number two.
Everyone in the room knew at that moment that I wasn't the force for chaos. I wasn't causing disunity. That for the last 3 weeks, the reason the House of Representatives has been paralyzed is because for his own selfish gain, Kevin McCarthy was sabotaging the candidacy of anyone else because he was plotting a return. And we stopped it. And in the place of Kevin McCarthy, we get a Bayou, Louisiana Mike Johnson, a brilliant constitutional attorney. He has been my seatmate in the House Judiciary Committee for 7 years. For 7 years, we have worked against the illegitimate impeachments, against the weaponization of this government. This guy did the toughest cases before the Louisiana Supreme Court. He is sharp. He will be as respected in the halls of our, in the homes of our most meaningful, righteous, and patriotic donors as he will at the rallies with our most enthusiastic and meaningful activists.
So, I mean, that he sounds good. Although I will ask this question. It's like, if he's so great, why didn't anyone think of him before? But,
well, you know, it's weird. And if you've ever been part of a large with legislative people, you know, it's all interpersonal relationships. He hasn't been there very long, you know, only four terms, which is 8 years. He normally wouldn't be considered a top tier one. He's also understated, and he's not, you know, flashy, and he is
not a major fundraiser.
Well, and yeah, right. He's not, doesn't really, you know, rub elbows probably all that well. You know, he's not a smoozer. And so, you know, if a cocktail party, you know, would he be your first choice? No, unless you want to do something, you know, some intellectual discussion, he might be good for that. But would it be fun? No.
He might be fun.
No, he doesn't look like a lot of fun. Well. But I think he'll, it's the first speaker maybe in the history of the Republic, that isn't just a total tool bag.
Right, exactly. But this is from Barney. He drinks milk at cocktail parties. Yeah. And then from Jim, it takes a person with cojones to do a government shutdown to get rid of continuing resolutions on the budget. Hope he is there. Well, and again, Kevin McCarthy promised a lot of things too, right, and delivered on very few of them, or kind of delivered on them. Right.
Right.
I don't know that this guy was making a lot of promises. So, but I mean, he's been saying the right things.
Well, yeah, because, you know, if you make the promise to one, then, you know, you can have this chairmanship, then the chairman is going to wait a minute. I'm the chairman. But he's going to, you know, the guy, I think, is Brendan Byrne, maybe in the wrong name, but in the Politico, surprisingly enough. But he was a aide to Boehner and Ryan. And he says the curve that Ryan had to climb, even though he'd been there for a long time, he's the most famous Republican because he'd been vice president and everything else. He said it was enormous. And, you know, only with the help of his majority leader, I think it was Tom DeLay, was he able to do it? Well, luckily, Steve Scalise and him are both from Louisiana. They seem to get along well, and so he'll be an enormous help for him as he's kind of dragged into the swamp.
And we're going to play another Gaetz soundbite here in a second, but just to set it up, you know, you might ask yourself, why does all of this matter? Why is it so hard? Why was Kevin McCarthy? I mean, as Barney says, he is just a cockroach. But in spite of that, why, on top of his natural cockroachness, why was he fighting so hard to do it? And it is the answer, as it always is, right? Follow the money, right? Yeah. That's what it's all about.
History.
if we could please play the Gates number three soundbite.
Because the lobbyists, the corporatists, the oligarchs on Wall Street, big tech, have control of him and this apparatus. They've had it now for over a decade, right? And they don't want to give
when
it up.
They are in control.
At the end of the day, that's what the fight was about.
Right. When they are in control, the American people get chaos. We get chaos with no budgets, with rising debts, with an administrative bureaucratic state that has seemingly no check, with all of these performative resolutions and investigations that don't result in meaningful change for our people. That's chaos. I have tried to bring order out of that chaos. And the reason it took me a little longer than expected, the reason it took 3 weeks instead of 3 days, is because Kevin McCarthy leveraged the last vestiges of his power to try to block any other human of any other ideology from being able to assume the speakership. And he was defeated. The swamp was defeated. And it would not have happened without this posse. It would not have happened without some great work from people like Jody Arrington, Clay Higgins, Scott Perry. We had a great team working to give Mike Johnson the support he needed to build a coalition.
Well, and then Trump weighed in on it, right? Yep. And supported him. And I think in a way, Trump was just supporting getting something done. No, you think he supported him?
No, he is, you know, somebody was accusing him. I think it was Kidner. Said, you know, he came in from Louisiana and really was kind of a reasonable guy, but then he saw Trump and he became just a suck up to Trump and following all the Trump stuff. And so I think Trump knows a lot of people, but I think he liked Johnson and
right.
And
well, and what's interesting, and just a couple of comments, Leo said he mentioned Poopy Pants Biden and his internet dropped in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah, don't think just because, you know, you're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't watching you. And then from Barney, Kevin is Trent Lott's bastard son.
Yeah,
One of the things I think that's true is, you know, why would Kevin McCarthy fight so hard? And it's because of the money. And why were all of the other people, and I got to imagine somewhere in there is Ken Buck too, right? Going along with Kevin McCarthy, and it's because money promised
well,
to
them. He's one of the eight people who shot Kevin McCarthy down.
Right, but in terms of who he was supporting or not, I mean, it looked as if, certainly it was coincidental that Lauren Boebert, who voted to keep Kevin McCarthy, got a boatload of money from Kevin McCarthy, right? Now, it remains to be seen, will this guy get the same money? Politico had an article quoting one of McCarthy's major donors. And keep in mind, they're not really McCarthy's donors, right? These are donors who are donating to McCarthy, who then doles the money out, right? It's not, I imagine he probably keeps some of it, but at any rate, so this is money that he disperses, said he will continue to do that. But I'm kind of like, well, we'll wait and see, right?
Well, yeah, because there's not going to be as much money because you don't want to be as much money.
Right.
You don't want Raytheon to go, oh, great, you know,
right.
They're $40 billion. You know, no, you don't want, you know, the Republicans will have to do with less money because if all you're thinking about is getting money in, then K Street is your first stop. And so they will have less money, thank God. But hopefully they'll have some principles for a change.
Well, I know you're right. That's a really good point. And we'll talk maybe later in the show how some of the rhinos in Colorado attack the current Republican Party because they're not raising as much money. And that's because they're not corrupt swamp creatures.
Right,
if you're not a corrupt swamp creature, if you actually are trying to do things that are good for the people, not the donor establishment consultant class, well, then you get less money. So you're right. That's a really good point. One of the ways to judge him is how much money
less money he gets.
It's like, which is true, right? If he's opposed to, you know, spending more money in Ukraine, then probably the Defense Department is not, or the defense industry is not going to give him as much money, right?
No.
If he wants to actually have the internet not be censored, then you got places like big tech won't like him. It goes back to these guys don't write the laws. The consultants write the laws, and consultants write laws that are good for their clients. And typically, what's good for the bazillionaire client is not necessarily good for us. Almost in fact, never. You could almost say almost it's never. Just the opposite, right? But what is so encouraging, though, you know, I was having a conversation with somebody today, and she was saying, you know, we may have to just crash and burn down the Republican Party. And I was like, no, we don't. I mean, that's the good news, right? Pay attention to it. We're so used to feeling like that, you know, sort of like some abuse thing where we like have to escape or something. It's like, no, we're actually, we being the grassroots and the Trump supporters are somewhat, I don't think it's probably too optimistic to say in the driver's seat, but there are a lot of
us. We at least are fighting for the wheel.
Exactly. It's kind of like when Trump, they say Trump was fighting for the wheel of the Secret Service, right? Yeah. We have one hand on the wheel.
Can I ask something?
Sure.
Hi, this is Jacob.
Is
Congress now in the position to take that $100 billion request from Biden and strip it down and only give it to either Israel or to Ukraine?
Sure.
And to take the continuing resolution as the bills come in for payment and strip that down and only pay the bills they want to pay.
Well, the House, they only have a majority of four. So what if they can, in theory anyway, they can do all those things. And none of it will get through the
right,
Senate.
Right, so either.
And if it got through the Senate, it's not going to get past Biden. So if you're saying, can the House do lots of great things? Well, it can do its 1/3 share of great things, but that doesn't mean that
they all get accomplished.
That's, you know, and then do you go, okay, we'll give Ukraine, you know, $38.5 billion and Israel $2 billion, or you know, who knows? Because if you really want something to go through,
go ahead.
My understanding with the continuing resolution is that they gave out a gob of money, but to appropriate it, they still have to go through Congress to pay the bills.
Okay,
what they did is it came with the debt ceiling. He and McCarthy and Biden got together and they did a bet, you know, we won't spend more than this absurdly huge amount, but it still has to be appropriated either through a continuing resolution, an omnibus bill, or separate appropriations. I think this guy will say, no, we're going to do separate appropriations if it takes, you know, I'm willing to do a continuing resolution for a short period of time to allow us to do all the things, but I'm going to get all the bills through where you can defund, you know,
Ukraine,
Department of Justice. Now that has to go up to the Senate and they'll say no. And then you go, well, then the government will shut down, which, you know.
So, yeah, big deal. We'll survive that.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you know, like, let's say they stripped down that $100 billion bill and they're only going to give to Israel and then they're going to vote. Then you know who's on the side of Israel and who isn't. That's what I'm trying to provide. Yeah. You know.
That'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to see how they do. Yeah.
I know Tlaib won't vote for it. But
No. It'll be interesting. Well, they'll pass a resolution saying something like, oh, we love everyone equally all over. And then they'll take all the money away. So
I see. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Have a great one.
Thank you, Jacob. Right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. You know, one nice thing, though, about the Senate. This is just an aside. They passed today a J.D. Vance bill prohibiting, and it was passed, right? Prohibiting federal funds to be used to enforce mask mandates. So basically, this prevents federal mask mandates on planes, transportation, things like that. So hooray, they did at least one good
thing.
Barney
wants to know, how many lobbyists does the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle?
That's Leo.
Millions.
That's where we have so much power.
That's
where we have the palatial
control everything.
Palatial headquarters that we have. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Not, army.
And I think what's interesting, again, an aside, media wise, they don't really have lobbyists anymore. The people are funding the media. It's all of these NGOs and charitable organizations give them grants, to do
climate.
They give grants to the climate reporter, right? And places like the Colorado Sun, they're all operating now. I mean, essentially,
in the Chronicle, we need some climate reporters. So there's no question about this.
But I mean, they've all turned into little NPRs, they are. They're all of them are little NPRs anymore. But back to other reasons, though, to be happy. And what I was saying is well, like you said, we don't really have control of the car yet, but we almost have our hand on the wheel. And that is making a difference. And it is one of those nice things that the more one person stands up, then another person, then another person. And pretty soon they all stand up. And stuff that used to be like you'd assume, well, you could never say election denier. You know, that would be terrible, terrible. All of a sudden you can start saying stuff like that, right? And to prove it, I want to play, Chuck found this, that this is just a brief clip of a press conference that they had yesterday with Mike Johnson, who, again, CNN calls him a key figure in the failed efforts to overturn the 2020 election. So if we could, and you got to listen to what happens when this reporter tries to ask a question about that. If we could please play the press conference video.
I like her. There's Lauren Boebert right next to that. I like her.
So the reporter tries to put in their sleazy reporter.
Then after that, she has another question. It's a sleazy one. Like, we're not here.
You shut up.
And the reporter is Rachel Scott from ABC News, who is just your politically correct, you know.
Well, they're the ones who were fed the story, I think, by Jack Smith that Mark Meadows, I mean, they're implying that Mark Meadows was wearing a wire or something talking to Trump, something that Mark Meadows' lawyer is saying, no, it's categorically not true. Now, that doesn't stop ABC from reporting it and everyone else picking it up. But yeah, when they say that a key figure in the efforts to overturn the 2020 election, like Hillary Clinton would never do that.
I love that old one. Boo. Shut up.
But that would have not happened, I would say, even 2 years ago. No. You know, I don't even know that it would have happened a year ago. But more and more, as I think a lot of this is the rise of sort of independent things like our show, citizen journalists, some of the freedom, frankly, I think that Twitter has allowed back on, although there's still some censorship, where people are starting to hear this other side. And not only that, but they're seeing things with their own eyes, right? Nobody even... It's kind of funny. So Stephen Colbert got COVID again, and he's really, really sick with it because he had so many jabs. There's a lot of information coming out about the mRNA and the autoimmune system and things like that, right? Yes. But even he now says, well, the reason I got it is because I didn't get the latest jab. But he didn't get the latest jab, right? Even the most jab-friendly people, jab true believers, jab drank the Kool-Aid people didn't get the latest jab, right? And so it's all that kind of stuff. And once you start questioning that, it's kind of like when you realize your parents don't know anything about everything, right? You're like, why should I listen to them?
Which Rev is just at the age where he's figuring that out.
Yeah, Justin, yes. He has a lot. So I don't know, back to, because we want that.
Well, I want to play the talking about how the right is kind of fighting back. The head of the Conservative Party in Canada had a...
Pierre Poilievre. Let me read the comments first, and then I'll do this because they're on there. So this is from Jacob. There's an interesting story that broke in July and is now coming back, is that Ehud Barak, who ran against Netanyahu and lost, that Barak told the IDF and Mossad not to honor or accept any of Netanyahu's orders. Maybe that's how Israel missed the October 7th attack. You know, I don't know. And Netanyahu today is saying they are going to do a ground assault, even though Joe Biden doesn't want them to. They're going to investigate how they missed it. So I don't know. This is from Dr. Donna. Heard Buck did not want to vote for this or that person because they still speak about election fraud. And Ken says it's time to move on. Ken's the only one talking about it now.
The only one moving on.
So anyway, we just have to play this. This is a funny.
This guy, this is how you
handle the
counter
media.
A lefty reporter.
Right. And we'll do it. And I'll tell how reporting used to be. So if we could please play Doug, the Canadian politician.
On the topic, I mean, in terms of your sort of strategy currently, you're obviously taking the populist pathway.
What does that mean?
Well, appealing to people's more emotional levels, I would guess. Certainly you tap very strong ideological language quite frequently.
Like what?
Left wing, you know, this and that, right wing, it's that type of ideological thing.
I never really talk about left
or
right.
Anyways,
I don't really believe in that.
Okay. A lot of people would say that you're simply taking a page out of the Donald Trump book.
Like which people would say that?
Well, I'm sure a great many Canadians, but...
Like who?
I don't know who, but...
Well, you're the one who asked the question, so yeah. Probably you must know somebody.
Okay. I'm sure there's some out there, but anyways, the point of this question is, I mean, why should Canadians trust you with their vote, given, you know, not just the sort of ideological inclination in terms of taking the page out of Donald Trump's book, but
what are you
also
talking about? What page? Can you give me a page? Give me the page. You keep saying
in terms of turning things quite dramatically in terms of Trudeau and the left wing and all of this. I mean, you make quite a, you know, it's quite a play that you make on it. So I'm
not sure.
Wondering.
I don't know what your question
okay.
is.
Then forget that. Why should Canadians trust you with their vote?
Common sense. Okay. Common sense for a change. We're going to make common sense common in this country. We don't have any common sense in the current government. You know, the guy prints $600 billion, grows our money supply by 32% in 3 years. That's growing the money 8 times faster than the economy. No wonder we have the worst inflation in 4 decades. I'm going to cap spending, cut waste, so that we can balance the budget and bring down inflation and interest rates. You'll want to be able to pay your mortgage again. You want to be able to afford rent. Then you have to vote for Pierre Poilievre, because I'm the only one with a common sense plan that will bring back the buying power of your paycheck.
You know, and there was just so much in that interview.
Oh, wow.
The reporter finally asked the question the way they just should have asked it.
Right.
Why should people trust you? Right. And it's just so funny. It's clear that it just epitomized how the media gets these talking points. And I do think that there is actually a system set up so that the Lawfare folks and the Arabella people, mm-hmm. all of these dark money organizations actually have PR firms that put this narrative out there. And the media go with it, right? And so this guy has no idea. He's just pushing talking points, unquestioning. Well, he agrees with them.
Yeah, well, all lefties. Well, you can't talk about lefties. Well, you know, I love that. Which page?
Yeah.
Well, the Donald Trump
broadcast.
It's like a page, you know.
It's like a lot of people, and it goes, well, name one, right? I mean, there was a time, frankly, when as a reporter, you would have actually, if you were going to ask the question that way, you could say, I talked to 8 people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You would have actually talked to people. But the media is so terrible at doing its job anymore. And I think that's why you see the Republicans standing there with Mike Johnson, and they start telling the reporter to shut up when they ask a stupid question, right?
Yeah.
Because the reporter does it. If you were to say, what did Trump do to overturn the election, right? I mean, all that kind of thing. Or what when you say he denies it, right?
Silva loves that woman. Shut up.
Well, yeah. And I think it's just so funny, and that epitomizes, and thank goodness at least some intelligent politicians are saying, well, what page? What people? And then you see what the guy said, what's a populist? In his mind, a populist is somebody who uses emotional language. It's like, that's like populist, you moron reporter. It's like,
you just feel the base emotions, not the intellected people.
It's
so like, what are you talking about, you moron? I'm the moron, you're the moron.
That's right. Yeah, and Jacob says, Barney says, love the disrespect to turd reporter. And then Jacob's da-da-da-da, that's all, folks. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Donna says, if asking the question, shouldn't you know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he loves it. He continues eating his apple. Jacob says, the interviewer used to work for Looney Tunes. And then Jim says, hey, does this guy want to immigrate? it would be great to see some of that ooze to Colorado. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, you know, that again, it's the kind of thing we try to do here. The trouble is that the media has just, you know, abandoned all pretense at you know,
but
not,
people know they've abandoned all
exactly pretense, so. And so they can ignore them and they can treat them like that, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
The disdain, like you said, he's continuing to eat the apple because he knows who's going to look stupid in this. And you know, that was an older reporter, it looked like, too. I mean, it didn't look like it was like some young reporter doing his first interview. And I'm sure he expected Poilievre to go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not Donald Trump, but oh, I'm not a, you know, he's expecting him to be apologetic or to say something crazy that he could then attack him at. And finally, he was forced to ask like a legitimate
question.
A straight question.
Common sense.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that's appealing to emotion. That's not, common sense is not an intellectual answer to that.
You threw out about, you know, that's appealing to emotion. So,
who cares about the spending? Spending, wending.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully Mike Johnson will watch that interview and channel his inner guy. And when the media starts attacking him, as they will, and the Biden White House,
he's probably not going to do lots of interviews with Meet the Press and Jake Tapper and everybody else. Why bother?
Right.
Why bother?
First, no one's watching them.
No one's watching them. And two, all you'll do is get the usual attack lines, a little more polite to begin with, and then, you know, off the edge of, you're taking a page from Donald Trump.
I mean, go back to the Leslie Stahl interview with Donald Trump, where she wouldn't let him talk about the Hunter Biden laptop because she said,
verify.
We can't verify it, which is, it's, we all know now,
you can't verify it.
An utter lie, right? We know now that the FBI and the Department of Justice and all of these intelligence agents, remember we did a show on that, they specifically organized to put together this lie to feed the media that the media knew was a lie. And she shut Donald Trump down, and she did everything she could to try to make
the good thing Donald did is he taped his interview with her. It wasn't just them having the tape was the brilliant thing. So he could play that before their thing went on. I mean, you know, they've got.
And have they ever to this day gone back and said, you know what, we were actually wrong about that, right? No, they haven't, right? You've got the New York Times just recently, their headline, Israel bombs hospital in Gaza, kills 500, right? And then they show a picture that wasn't even the hospital, that wasn't even, excuse me, near the hospital. It was this bombed out building from this other part of the.
A bombed out building.
Right? Yeah. So if you look at it, you're like, oh my God.
It's a bombed out building. Right, yeah. And the fact the hospital hadn't been bombed, you know, that's just a small point.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, but again, you know, they kind of, what do they, didn't call it a correction. I think they just had an editor's note.
We should have checked a little more. Totally going with what Hamas told us.
And then coming up with a picture to match it.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to find a picture to match it, right?
Well, a lot of bombed out buildings in Gaza.
Yeah. And then this is from Leo. The new speaker needs to release a Twitter video of him walking up a flight of stairs to a plane without falling up on it. That's true. One other thing that happened, well, a bunch of stuff happened today, but I wanted to talk about this too. The judge today, one in the fraud case, right? Where apparently Michael Cohen, who is the bad lawyer, who's
one of many bad lawyers
that Trump has had, and bad by I mean evil, admitted on the stand that he like lied to Congress about all kinds of stuff, right? And it's like,
no, that wasn't hush money, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Oh, okay. No.
Well, you said it was. Well, that was a lie, right? But the judge called Donald Trump to the stand and fined him $10,000.
And he'll do much worse if he doesn't stop it.
And for violating the gag order, right? The gag order says Donald Trump can't talk about the judge or the judge's staff. And of course, Donald Trump then, right before the hearing, talked about the judge being awful. So. But let's just talk about that for a second in terms of never before. I think this is because there's a gag order in Georgia, too. Right. And then the federal and there's a gag order in a federal case that prohibits
in D.C.
that prohibits Trump from saying anything disparaging
about any witnesses
who was like everybody.
Yeah,
right.
Half the world is
a witness. And if they're not, as soon as Donald Trump says something disparaging they'll put him on
the
witness.
The way the law works is, you know, you get these trends and they increase and increase. Increase, somebody pushes it back. You know, they didn't used to have gag orders. Judges weren't issuing gag orders all the time. Now they issue all kinds of. They didn't used to say, no, you can't have an affirmative defense of entrapment because I don't like that defense. No, you can't do this. No, in fact, you can't even argue anything. And they've just gotten so abusive. And the system is so, you know, I mean, legislature, God knows, but it ought to say that, you know, no gag orders.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, again, I covered courts for years, and almost always the defense attorney would ask for a gag order on the prosecutor. The prosecutor would ask for a gag order on the defense attorney. And then back in the old days, the judge would point out that there is a lawyer code of conduct, right? That essentially is a gag order, but never was there a gag order on the defendant,
right?
I mean, you could say, okay, lawyers can't go around saying things because they have a code of conduct. But no one, I've never seen the person who is at this point presumed innocent, right? Have a gag order on them, right? And particularly if you believe you're being persecuted, which is pretty obvious here, to say that Donald Trump can't say anything. And the thing about the contempt of court, guys, here's what's tricky about that. That is solely up to the discretion of the judge. And there really isn't an appeal base. Well, I mean, not right then, right? I mean, so the judge could, like just now, right? The judge fined Donald Trump $10,000.
Yeah, he could appeal that after the trial.
Right. And I mean, and I've seen cases where I have seen lawyers found in contempt and they're told to write a check like right then and there.
Oh, well, we have judges. Last case I was on, the judge said, "Oh, you jerks, you all bring your checkbooks every day you come here because I do it right away."
Yeah. And the thing
what an asshole.
And he could, but he could jail Donald Trump too, right? Yeah. And he could jail him right then.
Yeah.
And I fear and suspect that that's where they're going with all of this.
Well, good, because Trump keeps on, he's almost at 60% now. Everybody else is, you know, essentially given up. Apparently, the debate will be maybe just three people.
Yeah, we have Ramaswamy may not go into the debate.
Well, he may not qualify.
Oh, okay,
but it's going to be DeSantis, and
it isn't. And like you said, things happen until it pushes back. I'm not sure where this goes, this complete weaponization of certain
of both of prosecutors and judges
and the judges.
I mean, our Constitution was written by people who hated prosecutors and hated government interference in our lives. And that's why you have a First Amendment and a Second Amendment. Those are all techniques. It is prohibiting all the things that judges and prosecutors and government officials
can
did
do
during the colonial times. And they said, no, you can't do any of those.
And I remember years ago, there was a guy, he was kind of crazy. It was like it was sort of like a pre-Antifa group. But when Antifa was just sort of anti-government, right? I mean, it wasn't just, they weren't like a tool of the left. And they would protest outside the Denver District Courthouse every day for a while. And they were handing out in the morning at the courthouse, the way it works is almost always, so don't ever go to the courthouse at like 8 o'clock in the morning. That's when the jury pool, all the people call for jury duty go. And so these guys, what these people would do is they were handing out little flyers about jury nullification. And do you want to explain what that is, or do you want me to try?
Sure.
Okay. So jury nullification, essentially, it's the jury taking the law into its own hands and saying, this law is so stupid, we're not going to enforce it, and we're going to find the person not guilty. Something along that lines, right? And I forget why this group was up in arms about it, but they were handing these pamphlets to the people who were going in for a jury and essentially trying to explain to them, you know, actually, you don't have to do what the judge tells you to do. You are, you know, 12 or 6 or whatever people, a jury of your peers, right? You can do whatever you want to do. And so
the key is, if you're smart, you go, no, I don't think the evidence reached the unreasonable,
right,
reasonable doubt level.
You want to be smart
about it.
But
I'm going to ignore the judge's instructions to us, because then he'll find you in contempt.
Right. But what this group was doing was trying to educate these people, right? Now, they were a little wacky, but what was really, even at the time, it struck me as unfair is they would send the sheriff deputies out to disperse these people or arrest them if they didn't leave. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, they have a right. Mm-hmm. And then they said, well, they can go stand. I don't know if you know the Denver District Courthouse. It's kind of like on Colfax, between Colfax and Fright. I mean, and so they said, well, they can go stand
away from everybody,
way far away from everybody, and they can do it there. And they're like, but we can't hand them the pamphlets that. But I just thought, well, that seems wrong that the courts would be threatening to arrest anyone who was explaining to the jury that they didn't have to necessarily do what the judge said. But I guess where I'm going with that is, I just wonder how far we are from that in certain jurisdictions where people are
You're there.
You think?
Yeah. And the left's attacking the Supreme Court. In the meantime, the judges and prosecutors are going through, you know, we'll get anybody that appears to be a Trumpian person or right-wing person or election denier person or whoever else.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. But it's just concerning. And what I fear is going to happen, and I think Trump is probably well aware of this, I'm sure he is, also is the thing about the contempt of court and the gag order. You can turn around and you could twist anything, and it's solely up to the judge. So the judge could just say, I'm going to throw Donald Trump in jail. And then you can forget about the trial, right? I mean, that's the tricky part. You don't even have to present a case then, right? It's sort of like the Michael Flynn when you get people right. on the process charges, right? You just say, you don't have to worry about a trial. You don't want to let Trump show his evidence. You just say he's violated the gag order and you can throw him in jail for contempt of court. And that can be sort of like with the judge's fine. That can kind of be whatever the judge wants, right? Sometimes until Trump apologizes or it can, right? I mean,
well, they can demand whatever they want.
Well, and here's why I know this because years, but I know this because years ago, there was a case. It was a guy by the name of Omar Jha. He was an African immigrant and he was shot and killed by Nathan Phil, who was a skinhead at the time. He was shot and killed in downtown Denver. And Nathan Phil, I had did a jailhouse interview with him and he told me that he killed Jha because Jha was black. And that in his mind, that that he was the enemy. He was wearing the enemy's uniform, he said, so he shot and killed him. So Nathan Phil confessed to me. And this was a death penalty case. So the defense attorneys at the time, and frankly, they were doing their job. I don't really begrudge them this. But they started, you know, attacking me and they were trying to find out.
Well, the reason they were attacking you.
They needed because, to get the confession thrown out.
Well, because he'd given another confession to the police. But that had been thrown out. I didn't get Miranda rights or whatever it was. So the confession of the police had been thrown out. And the only confession left was the confession to you.
That's right. And so they were going after me and they were trying to force me to reveal sources, right? And it's kind of interesting because I had promised sources that I wouldn't reveal their names, even though the sources didn't have anything to do with the confession, but they were pushing that. And the lawyer explained to me, he said, this is something that will be solely up to the judge. If the judge orders you to reveal your sources, right, then you either have to reveal your sources or the judge can find you in contempt of court. And I said, well, what happens if you're found in contempt of court? And he said, any number of things can happen. You can be
very pleasant.
None of them happy. You know, he said, you can be fined as much as the judge decides to fine you. He said, and you could be put in jail. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, how long would I, because I need to make daycare arrangements. Mm-hmm. It's like, how long would I be put in jail? And he said, until the judge decides that you don't have to be in jail anymore. I'm like, there isn't some, like, you know,
5 years.
Yeah, there isn't some kind of term limit on this. No. And he said, no, it's whatever the judge decides. And it was like, whoa. Unfortunately, it didn't come to that because that would have been a mess. But it was just so that anyway, so the judge, I'm assuming it's the same, contempt of court is contempt of court, right?
Yeah.
That Donald Trump, the judge could simply throw Donald Trump in jail. And I just kind of wonder if that's what might happen at a certain point.
Well, that one is limited because it's punishment one. Yours is to get you, to force you to reveal something.
Is a limit?
Well, it's considered 6 months, you know.
Just coincidentally to the election. Yeah. When's the last day of the election? Oh, I mean, and that may be what they're waiting for,
well,
frankly.
But nobody cares because, we don't need to see Donald Trump out on the campaign trail. We can see Mike Johnson out on the campaign trail.
Pictures of Donald Trump. Well, and then they'll try everything to limit him. But I just wonder if maybe they're going to wait until it's close enough to the election, right? And then they're going to find him in contempt and throw him in jail.
Well, Joe's not going to be out there. He wasn't out there the last election. And now, he can't get off an airplane.
But it does raise. I mean, I think every time they do this, people get more mad and people support Donald Trump more. Joe Biden is at an all-time low in the polls. But that would not surprise me if they just use this whole gag order, because then they don't have to deal with any,
no Trump election denying.
They don't have to deal with Trump presenting his side, right? They don't have to cover that. They just put him in jail. They keep him in jail.
Cover Joe.
And how?
That's not too exciting, though. They'll go, wait a minute.
But you know what I mean? And how would it work Supreme Court-wise? Can you, because it's one thing to appeal like the decision by the judge, but to appeal in a contempt of court, that's a whole kind of trickier.
No, it isn't.
Not really?
No. I mean, and
you could appeal.
You go to federal courts, you could say, no, this violates the First Amendment rights of this person. And then that would go up, ostensibly to the U.S. Supreme Court, who would, cower.
That's right. Well, and this is from Barney. Judges have a bunch of power, even little low turd municipal judges. Yes, they do. And I think it's become alarming. And I think, you talk about you know, what can you do to push back at, and anymore? I just think this jury nullification issue is not one to be taken lightly. I think citizens need to realize it's like, wait, we don't have to do it. Now, the trouble they have is they're bringing these cases in jurisdictions where
they're happy to.
In fact, remember that one stupid grand juror in Atlanta who said that she was all happy. She's like, oh, we're just going to convict him.
Yeah, we got that done.
Yeah, we don't even know all the, this is just, and we can't wait to convict him. Remember, she was like, whatever the charges are, we'll indict him.
Atlanta might be a little harder than D.C. I mean, D.C. is, I don't know, 85% African-American and Democrat, or 95% Democrat. Atlanta is, you know, 40% African-American and 60% Democrat, or 65. But it's not universal. And to get a verdict, you got to have 12 people. So you might actually have somebody from Buckhead or something goes, no, I won't do it.
I won't do it. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, a lot of interesting developments. But I think in all of it, though, reason to be hopeful, right?
Mike Johnson. Happy. Be happy in your sleep tonight, because we'll have the first speaker that I can remember. I mean, Newt Gingrich got a lot of things, but he came way too egotistical. This is a guy who really, you know, who kind of go, yeah, this is what I can get done. And Schumer said he's going to talk to him and inform him that the only way to get things done is going to be on a bipartisan basis. And so, you know, we'll.
I like how the Democrats do things.
Yeah, they're okay, very bipartisan.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so that's going to wrap it up.
That's
for
it
us today.
For us.
But I want to, so thank you to Doug, who's running the board today. Thomas, our producer, got a day off on Friday.
You gave the boy a day off and everything.
On Friday.
Lazy kid, Jesus.
Keeping Trump off the ballot filed by the fake Colorado Republicans, that case goes to court theoretically on Monday. Yeah. So on Friday, we're going to have somebody on to talk about that, keep us up to speed on where all of that is going, where the fake Republicans are up to. But that'll do it for us today.
Yay.
See you. Party Friday, everybody.
Yeah, it's always Party Friday.
That's right.
All right. Take care, everybody.